Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
PGA Tour returns to California today, Woods. First round of the American Express in La Quinta. If you missed it yesterday, had a
now
great
we're talking.
Conversation with Charlie Hoffman, who will be one of the competitors at the tournament this week, a former champion.
Where is it?
La Quinta, California. It's in the desert.
Okay.
Usually they play at three or four courses because they have one pro and three amateurs in the group.
That's
and
right.
A pro-am, but there's no AMs this year because of the coronavirus, so they've limited it to just two courses. I'm not sure. It's usually the Arnold Palmer course and the stadium course at PGA West, if those are the ones that they're doing at PGA West, but there are a couple of others in the rotation as well.
Where is La Quinta?
La Quinta is just east of
Palm like
Desert as you're kind of going out.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know La Quinta, like the hotel. I've never been to La Quinta,
California.
No, never. I've probably been through it.
You've been
it's by Indio.
Yeah, it's right by Indio, near Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Tony area of the desert.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, very nice. So, I have been there then.
Indio's not quite as Tony as La
Quinta.
Probably
stayed there, to be honest.
You might
have. Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah
it's nice out there.
In the shadow of the mountain there.
Boy, those people in that town hate. I'm sure they're much happier that this golf tournament is coming than Coachella.
See, you used to have no interest. There are so many golf courses.
Out there.
In the Coachella Valley.
100%.
I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens. If you have ever looked at a Google map of the Coachella Valley,
yeah,
and you just see it's, I mean, how could there possibly be enough golfers for the number of golf courses they
a lot
have?
Of retired people,
but they're all retirees who just play golf every single day. So those courses get filled up.
God,
it's your dream.
It's my dream. Chances I'm living in a one bedroom apartment in La Quinta in about 20 years.
So that's the golf news for the day. Baseball news, though, we're going to get to. I actually had some trouble remembering everything the Padres did.
I'm right there with you.
This offseason. So I thought we better actually take stock here. We'll do that. First, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Woodsy, it's hard to believe that 1 month ago today, the Padres had only made one move this offseason. Just one. You remember what the first move A.J. Preller did this offseason was?
Yeah, he brought in Brian O'Grady from Dublin, Ireland.
Brian O'Grady.
Top of the morning, Ben.
Not from Dublin, Ireland. He was from Pennsylvania.
Happy to be here, laddie.
Pennsylvania to add a little outfield depth to the organization. And that was December 9th.
What's so funny, though, I don't want to interrupt you, but what's so funny is, like, when that move happened, everyone's like, what the? This is what we're doing? This is what we're doing this offseason? Really? Brian O'Grady, with all these needs, you got to get, you know, Clevenger's going to be out. Denelson Lamet may be hurt. This is what we're doing? Brian O'Grady? I can.
There was a, like,
top of the morning, fellas!
There was a kind of a big whoop.
Oh, moment. Yeah. It was like, see, come on, like, man. AJ, there's so much to do. This is what we're doing.
Remember, the Padres had declined the option on Mitch Moreland.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked to Ron Fowler,
yep.
And you know, we got the sense, all right, well, it's a pandemic. There's some austerity going. Let's not get our hopes up for a bunch of big moves. They already have a pretty good team in place. They're going to be competitive no matter what they do this offseason. seems like it's going to be pretty quiet, though. And the Brian O'Grady move only reinforced that notion.
Absolutely.
That this was going to be.
We looked at each other. We're like, what? This is it?
This is the kind of move we can expect. The small, small tinkering.
Yes.
You know, maneuvers that A.J. Preller is going to be limited to. And then Christmas came along. Padres hadn't done anything. And then it was a couple of days after Christmas, 27th or 28th of December, when the Blake Snell trade happened. And I remember we were so happy that we were working that week and not taking vacation, as most radio shows do, so we could react to that instantly. And
it was about 3 hours before that tweet came down from Dennis Lynn, I think he had it. About 3 hours before that, we're all texting each other. I mean, serious consideration about just not doing a show that week.
Like, why didn't we take this week off? Are we idiots?
Like, is it too late? Can we call Adam?
Yeah, it was in the text thread. I was like, he's going to kill us for putting in for vacation this late. But then Blake Snell was delivered from on high. And what a move. What a move it was. And it kind of jump-started everything. It electrified the offseason. Getting a guy like that, you know, that it had come, you know, one game away from winning a World Series and really showing his true mettle out there for the Rays and the ultimate competitor.
Number hopefully four, Blake Snell.
We get that gold thrown on top of it. We were elated. I'm still elated.
And yeah. I was as happy as I was. I was convinced, all right, that's the big move. And now I'm satisfied.
Colonel Budget was really starting to rear his head every day.
It's done, though. It's over. We should be happy that we got Blake Snell, and what a great move by AJ. There were rumors out there. The Padres were also interested in some other pitchers like Yu Darvish. I definitely said, well, obviously that's not happening now.
Right.
And then I think it was 3 days later, New Year's Eve, when news of the Yu Darvish trade came down. Yu Darvish and Victor Caratini, his personal catcher, coming over from the Chicago Cubs. That was the next move, which also coincided, it wasn't made official until the following week, by the signing of a Korean infielder, Ha Sung Kim. So, Brian O'Grady, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Victor Caratini, and Ha Sung Kim, all added to the Padres roster. And then, of course, this week, Joe Musgrove joins in a trade with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that's six players, at least five of which, possibly all six, that you can expect to see on the Padres' opening day roster on April 1st. Would you you wouldn't be surprised if all six of those guys were on the team, right?
No, not at all.
I think Brian O'Grady will have to prove himself and win a spot, but Padres do need outfield depth. That's why they signed him. So presumably they expect him to make the team. That's a big chunk of turnover in one offseason. That's almost a fourth of the 25% of the roster coming in and new in 2021, just based on those moves alone that have all happened in the last 3.5 weeks, essentially.
And they are doing 26-man rosters again?
I think so, but nothing, I think, has been officially announced on that yet
in the National League. That's going to be big for guys like Brian O'Grady. And again, the rumor mill now is still churning that AJ really wants to bring back Jerickson Profar, which, by the way, is no surprise at all based on a couple of reasons. Number one, he loves Jerickson Profar. And always has, and coveted him for a long time, got him here, started extremely slow, was not impressive by any stretch, and then by the end of the year, really, you were mad if he wasn't in the lineup. Really, I mean, talk about a phenomenal bottom-of-the-order presence that could work walks, work every AB, really professional at-bats, and took over almost seamlessly in left field for Tommy Pham when Tommy got hurt. It seems that it's a no-brainer to bring back Jerickson Profar. What's he going to cost? You know, they're working on it right now, you know, to try to get him back. So that's going to be even another addition to this Padres lineup. And the bench looks, you know, with him on the bench, dude, I mean, it's about as deep a team as you can get.
Now, what's been subtracted? Obviously, Zach Davies was traded away. Garrett Richards is a free agent and no longer part of the pitching staff. Padres traded away Joey Lucchese in the Joe Musgrove deal.
Kirby Yates is a Blue Jay.
Kirby Yates is left in free agency. Jason Castro, yeah. Who was the backup catcher after the trade deadline last year, just yesterday signed to the Houston Astros.
Yep, he'll be a backup there.
2-year deal.
Yep.
Bring his leadership and veteran experience to that team. So they've cleared some spots as well. But on balance, this isn't the hottest take in the world. What they've brought in far outweighs what they've lost this offseason.
Michael says they are using the 26-man roster. So that's
okay,
good.
There is some still uncertainty about some of the rules. In fact,
the DH is still out there.
It's still out there. I didn't see this, Paul. You put this on the rundown. So Bob Nightingale reported that the 7-inning doubleheaders are going to be happening again with runners on second base in extra innings when games go to extra innings in 2021.
Yeah, he tweeted that out like 2, maybe 3 days ago. Had a story that apparently the league and the union are just about agreed upon for those two, the 7-inning doubleheaders and the extra innings runner on second. They are still discussing the universal DH and expanded playoffs in 2021, which the fact that, I don't know, we're a month away from players reporting to camp and we still don't know if we're going to have a DH or not is absurd.
I'll tell you right now, Padre fans, even, you know, I was a pretty old school guy. I've opened my mind to this whole thing, and I didn't think I was going to like it. I do like it. Doesn't bother me a bit. The runner on second. Padres were 4-0 in those games. Okay? So if they get a chance to do that and win a lot more than they lose, we're all going to be in favor of it. Also, I'm telling you, this is a different world now. The Padre fan, you have to be a different type of fan right now. You have to be thinking about protecting your team until October. And that is a rule that's going – it's weird. I get it. You don't want 14-inning games. You don't want 18-inning games. You don't want 13-inning games. You want essentially – what is it? They did it after 10? Or they do it after 9?
No, they do it after 9.
So
they go
10th
right to,
inning.
Right to a runner at second base.
Let's just do it.
Save
your bullets.
It really is a good point that you make. This rule benefits teams that expect to play
100
deep into the postseason.
100%.
I remember the year, I don't know if you were even in San Diego yet, the year the Padres played that 22 or 23-inning game against the Colorado Rockies.
Was I here?
It wrecked them. It wrecked them for like the next 2 weeks practically trying to figure out their pitching rotation.
2008.
After that. Yeah.
It
absolutely was. It 22 or 23?
22.
22 innings against the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, and they lost.
And they lost that game. And they went on a big streak after that where – they did, you know, they lost a bunch of games because they had to expend so much pitching, you know, in that one game. It had a lingering effect. You do not want that for a team that, you know, has to play 162 games, first of all, after a 60-game season last year. And hopefully, if you're a Padres fan, really, you want to see 180-plus meaningful games. That means they're going all the way to the World Series, you know, through a maybe another 3-game wild card series, a best of 5, division series, a best of 7 championship series, and a best of 7 world series. That's potentially 22 more games at the end of the season after you've played a full 162. Anything that shortens games up, 7-inning doubleheaders, runner on base and extra innings, that's probably a good thing for the Padres in 2021.
I'm telling you, it's weird. I get it. I felt the same way that you do. But the more and more I think about it, the more and more I saw just how taxed our bullpen was last year after a 60-game sprint. And I understand also. I mean, yeah, it's 100 fewer games, right, Ben? But every game was more high leverage, okay? Those games in May and June that drag a little bit, then those games in August that drag a little bit, those aren't super high leverage innings. They're just not. You either have a lead, you're fighting for a lead, whatever. They're not as high leverage as it was last year. So I understand why they were a little bit gassed at the end of the year. They also got used a ton by a first-year manager that's trying to figure out how to get outs the best way he knows how. I expect him to grow this year as a manager. He's going to have to manage completely. This is like having two debuts. He had a 60-game debut. That was a whole different way to manage than the way that Jay Stengel is going to have to manage this year. Completely different. Whatever helps us shorten games, as Padre fans, I'm telling you, I know it's hard. You should really think about buying in and buying in hard.
And I didn't meet anyone last year who said, oh, I couldn't stand the extra inning rules. Even traditionalists like yourself, kind of went, huh, it was better than I expected. I wasn't a fan of it when they announced it, but it didn't ruin the game. In fact, some people said, actually ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would.
The best part about it was the four wins. 4-0. You didn't lose one of those. I mean, if you can figure out a way, if you think you're a team built to do that, sure, it changes the way you manage a game. And, again, see, have those guys as healthy and as rested as they can possibly be when October hits, because we all know how important it is to have as many fresh arms in the bullpen as possible. I mean, you know, ask Blake Snell. The bullpen that pretty much got them there, you know, they turned to it one more time. They went to the well one more time, and they just weren't ready, man. They were gassed. They had been seen too much, you know, and it just, all of those things are important when you are a team, when you are a team like the San Diego Padres are, that are expected to go out and not only compete, but to win a World Series.
So, Woods, I got some new odds earlier this week, and this is actually before the Joe Musgrove trade, but from sportsbetting.ag on odds to win each division in Major League Baseball. Thought I'd go through it, see if there were any surprises in your mind. We'll start in the NL West. Dodgers were still the favorite at minus 165, and the Padres close to even money, plus 150. That was before the Joe Musgrove trade.
Man.
In the NL Central, the Reds are slight favorites at plus 225 over the Cardinals at plus 250, Cubs plus 275, Brewers plus 325. So really throw a blanket on those four teams. The odds makers have no idea who's going to win
Clearly.
The NL Central. And in the NL East, it's the Mets at plus 150 as the favorite, with the Braves at plus 180 just behind them. So that's a change. When the season ended, the Braves were the favorites. Now the Mets have passed them in the odds. In the American League, AL West, the A's plus 110. So just about even money on the bet for the A's to win the AL West. Astros plus 175. Angels
wow.
plus 375. In the AL Central, the White Sox minus 130. They kind of separated themselves. The Twins second at plus 200. And then in the AL East, the Yankees minus 175. As big of a favorite in any division. But the Blue Jays, who were plus 600, that was before the George Springer move, the Kirby Yates move.
Yep.
My guess is that those odds are going to be compacting a little bit as well.
I'll tell you, man,
in that division.
And I don't see it for the Yankees. I don't see. I really don't think they have the arms to get there. They have the arm. They have one arm to help get them there, but they've lost. They just lost Hap. They lost Tanaka. They got a bunt. They got Gerrit Cole and then some young kids, you know, and as a team that is used to having a luxury or a wealth of young talent, you don't know what you can count on those kids for. You have no idea. So I don't see that. If I could short that, if I could bet against them to win the East, I probably would.
Then NL pennant odds, the Dodgers still the favorites at plus 250, but right behind them the Padres at plus 425, the second choice, and then the Braves and the Mets at plus 500. World Series odds, the Dodgers plus 450, Padres and Yankees co-second choices now at plus 650. And again, that was before the Musgrove trade.
Yep.
So you think maybe the Padres now are the second choice, even ahead of the Yankees, to win the World Series. Part of that is they're in the National League with the Dodgers. If they weren't, their odds would be even better.
Yeah.
But everyone knows you got to get through the Dodgers and the National League just to get to the World Series. The Yankees clearly don't quite have as much competition to get there in the AL.
What is Mitch competition?
Much competition.
When you play against Mitch. Look, you're right. It does. The road does go through there, through LA, and that's fine. You like how you match up now, though. You really do. You like how you match up a lot against the Dodgers. And again, to think that A.J. Preller is done tinkering with this team and getting everything he can get, I think you'd be crazy, because I fully expect another one of those moments. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Because there's still talent out there.
If they continue with the wild card format from last season, I would love to see a twist in which if the Dodgers win 105 games and the Padres win 100 games, I'd hate for them to have to meet in the second round again.
I know.
Last year. It seems like at the very least, they deserve a seven-game series if they're really going to battle it out, if those are the two best teams. But based on the rules last year, they'd probably be doomed again to meet in a second-round series, because one would obviously have to be a wild-card team while the other will be a division champion. So I don't know what the Major League Baseball plans there, but that's just one thing I kind of thought about that, you know what, is this going to happen every year now? If the Padres and Dodgers meet in the playoffs, it's going to be in a short series as opposed to a full series? I don't know. I like the Padres' depth now in a longer series, though.
All the more reason to have those bullpen arms fresh and ready. Don't fight the change. Embrace the change in baseball. And I'm telling you, it's the right move for the San Diego Padres.
Final hour of Ben and Woods next. We'll get to our NFL Insiders Report. And Amy Trask certainly qualifies from CBS Sports, former Raiders executive, the Princess of Darkness on the championship game. Next, Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.